that might be problematic in other ways. But when it's not funny, and I think this is intended to be funny, it then becomes just pointless and offensive.
I mean, I see your point.
If the state of Missouri is going to subsidize racial humor, I would at least like that racial humor to be funny. That's all I'm asking. Do you know what I mean? I just want the jokes to be good.
Right. Let me add a little bit of context, too. The state fair runs for about 10 days. There's a couple hours worth of rodeo the whole time. So you're looking at 20 hours of rodeoing. And like Ben said, you know, the champion stayed on for 8 seconds. So everybody else is 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds, and you're done. So there's a lot of in-between go time that they have to fill in that 20 hours over the span of the fair. And you're asking a pack of clowns to come up with the best ideas for skits, you know, because they do 15, 20 skits per session
right.
in between all the rides. And one of them wasn't funny. You know, it probably was disrespectful. And like Ben said, the better idea would be to have, you know, 44 masked and wigged in some circumstances. Running of the bull style chase over all of them if you're going to make that.
That'd be nice.
Corner.
I'd like that. It's a minute after one right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Do we want to get real crazy and stay local? Did you hear about the Saudi Arabian fiasco in Warrensburg?
With the judge not letting the guy out?
A Saudi national.
Until the Saudi royal government was willing to write a check for however many dollars
right,
they
and
wanted.
Then he still wouldn't let him
yeah,
out. That was the controversy was when the Saudis came forward and said, all right, we'll pay his bail. And the judge
dollars.
Was like, no, we're not. I set the bail high so he couldn't get out. And now you guys are going to pay it because we know once he pays it, you're going to just whisk him away and then we'll never see him again.
But they're going to have that Learjet that...
He'll have a legal...
Osama, his Learjet is available, I believe.
Right.
The Bin Laden family's Learjet.
It's open now.
Right on
motor
that.
Running.
All right, well, I'm going to get off here, guys. You have a great night.
Take care, Bill. Right. Is there another angle to that story?
Yeah, they let him out.
They have let him out. And is he... left American airspace yet?
This article was written...
Is he in the Russian airport?
I'm just going to New York to get some chips.
Yeah, this article was written August 2nd.
He kept going.
His current whereabouts, I'm not sure.
Right.
But apparently, when was Obama through Kansas City last?
This last week.
Apparently, that was coincided with a little more urging to take the bond money.
Really?
What, just his geographical location in town?
Well, I mean...
Like, did the presidential motorcade go past the courthouse?
That's the tinfoil hat part of it.
Oh, my God, Jake, really?
Yeah.
This guy... Okay.
What's his name?
I know you're going to say, yeah, but the whole point is that... I mean, the guy, it was a murder-for-hire plot or something like that, or did he actually... He killed a bar owner?
A bar owner died. The bouncer is the one that killed him. And allegedly, this Saudi guy is the one that set it all up.
Right.
And he's obviously clearly connected. It kind of sounds like a pissing contest gone horribly awry. Mm. But for whatever reason, and let's not forget...
None of those ever end well.
Well.
And we end up covered in...
Right.
But this guy clearly has strong connections to the Saudi royals. And, every terror plot from here to... Oklahoma City.
I don't know that he, but it didn't seem from what I read that he had necessarily strong connections, but his father had appealed to the Saudi government.
Right.
And they're like, his bail's only $2 million? Get done. Got it.
Right.
Check's written. World Bank of Saudi Arabia.
Take that
cashier's
gold shower
check.
Out.
But do you know what he was doing in Warrensburg?
No. What was
originally?
He doing? Going to school.
Learning to fly little airplanes.
Well, that's they do have one of those colleges in Warrensburg. That's part of the thing you can
correct.
Go to CMSU. That angle's a little played out, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean...
Did he want to learn how to land them, or...
Landing or taking off. He just wanted to know how to steer it.
Well, I mean, has he not heard of video games?
Nope.
All right.
Hmm. Yeah, that whole thing, I mean, when you talk about connections to the royal family and things like that, well, A, the royal family is everything there, right? I mean, I was just listening to a report locally to Saudi Arabia where they were talking about some of the discontent that their citizens have is that there is no upward mobility. I mean, you're either part of the freaking royal family or you're not.
Right.
And if you work at, you know, Joe's liquor store, the best you can hope to be
they
is
don't have
the stock guy. Right, right. I guess okay. They wouldn't have a liquor store in a Muslim country, but
Muhammad's
but you know
tea
what I mean?
Shop.
If you're just a guy working at a run of the mill business, the ownership and management is going to be Saudi royal family. It's kind of like the mob. Like, they own a percentage of everything.
We should get the individual who's taking issue with that situation a copy of a historical reckoning of the French Revolution or something
right.
like that.
Or common sense, right? I mean, and that's the whole thing is, like, everybody's related to the Saudi royal family, because if you're overseas, you had to go through that. You know what I mean? You had to bubble up through that
right.
kind of filter to get there. You know what I mean? I know of stories of people who are not rich and not wealthy, but I mean, you know, my cousin worked with or my dad worked with the cousin of so-and-so, and that's why, you know, like you said, $2 million, no problem. We can give you that.
Right, and on top of the bond, the whole charge and jailing hinged on the testimony of an eyewitness. And that eyewitness, according to that Kansas City Star article, changed his testimony. And that was the key piece of evidence they had to charge the Saudi national. And with the changing of his story, they had to let him go.
So they needed the Saudi royals cut a check for $225,000.
They scratched out the Johnson County City Hall on the check and gave it to the witness.
Yeah. So I mean,
$2 million for bond, $1 million for you.
That's pretty amazing. Now, if you're going to be a national of any country, I mean, sure, you're relegated to Muhammad's tea shop, because I don't believe that this guy was actually somebody special.
Right, that's my point.
I don't think he was special.
You don't have to be special.
But he appealed, because, I mean, how many Saudis are there? There's not very many. And I mean, the Saudis may have take issue with their upward mobility, but they don't have to. I mean, what's the tax rate in Saudi Arabia? As long as you don't steal something, you get to keep your hands. And, you know, I mean, what are the beheading crimes?
How many flight schools are in between here and Saudi Arabia, though? That's the weird part.
Yeah, but I mean, you go to any college campus, and you're going to have. There's going to be a lot of people from all over the world. I mean, that's a large part of what the American university system does these days. And I mean, I'm sure there's lots of flight schools. But
that
you
is
know,
a big part of what the American university system does is go to these countries and try and get them to.
It's recruitment, and you know, hey, you know, maybe this guy got his GED or equivalent over there in Saudi Arabia, and that's why he ended up being a mule. You know, I mean, he didn't get to go to the premier. He didn't go to the premier flight school, which is the Rudy Decker flight school, right? What is that?
Rudy Decker.
Is that what that guy's name is?
In Florida, yeah.
Yeah, right. Down there in Venice Beach. Venice.
Flying Circus.
Yeah, see, taking you guys.
What was that dude's name with the cow?
Daniel. Website? Was it Daniel something? Mad Cow. Prod.
Yeah.
Sacred Cow Production.
No, it was Mad Cow, not Sacred Cow. Yeah, that was some good stuff.
Yeah. All those people kind of fell off because...
The Venice Flying Circus.
Bush didn't take...
Muhammad Atta.
Bush did not take the third term, and it kind of...
Yeah, where did they go?
To be...
That's the rough part. You know, there's so many websites out there. There's so much information you can read. I mean, technically...
Bellin, Krellin, Rellin, I can't remember. Something like that.
Some of that stuff was really good. A lot of his drug running stuff was good as well.
Right.
Somebody years ago left me a big stack of his DVDs on the back porch of the old radio station. after I convinced Jake to sniff them to make sure they weren't covered in anthrax.
There's
I put
a note
them in my
that
computer.
Said, read at your own risk.
Daniel Hopsicker.
There
Hopsicker,
you go.
Hopsicker, yes.
Mad Cow Prod, or?
Welcome to Terrorland, Muhammad Atta and the Flying Venice Circus. This is just an Amazon link.
816-931-5534, 931-KKFM. Well, you were there, but you gave up on us.
Must be patient.
931-KKFI, 931-5534. That is the radio station's telephone number as we continue a conversation about various things here in the middle of the night. But it's funny because if you read, there's so many websites out there, so much information, so much stuff if you want to go against the mainstream. I mean, technically, the American economy was going to collapse next week for the last 10 years. Have you noticed that?
Or more.
I'm just talking about websites. I mean, 10
right.
years, I mean...
Yeah, no, yeah you're right. You're right. And everything has a spin to it, depending on how you want to spin it, I guess. I mean, yeah, there's connections everywhere.
It's kind of easier to not necessarily read all those websites all the time. Because, you know, hey... Some of that stuff's clearly not true.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure Gerald Celente is a really nice guy, but he has predicted a lot of trends that haven't necessarily come true. I'm sure he's a swell guy. I know when it comes down to it. What about the billionaire businessman who predicted the economy was going to end? And it hasn't yet.
Wasn't that Celente? He's like some...
He's not a billionaire.
He's like... Got lots of
the
money.
Guy from the Stansberry and Associates. Have you ever watched one of their videos before?
No. Is he a billionaire?
He's a rich guy. I can't think of what that guy's name is, but he had, you know, he predicted, I think 2 years ago, that the economy was going to collapse in like 3 months and how to protect yourself from it. And it didn't. And I never really got how you're supposed to protect yourself from it either. I watched this video for like a half hour, and it was kind of a goofy video that was narrated and had a lot of stick figures in it, and never really went anywhere.
Well, that's the thing. They're always, it
I
seems like they always come down to, like, you know, invest with my company or whatever, and it's like, well, but how do you invest, or like even buying gold and stuff like that? It's like, okay, if you're telling me that this stuff is at the whim of, you know, these whoever's manipulating the price of gold.
Give me a break. I mean, I can't invest in gold. The best way I could plan my retirement with gold is to steal gold.
Right.
You know, it's $1,700 an ounce plus. I'd be better off going to thief school to learn how to swipe me some bullion and saving up my pennies to go buy some bullion.
I remember back in the 90s, I had a guy trying to sell me
gold.
This gold.
You should have bought it, man.
Well,
back
wait.
In the 90s, gold was like $250 an ounce.
Right.
You'd be a millionaire right now.
But the plan was
a millionaire.
I'd give him $100, and I'd get a piece of paper that said I had a gold coin. In wherever they kept the gold coin.
Sure.
And then I could always buy more gold coins, which would be paper saying that I had gold coins.
Was he with the Federal Reserve Bank?
Well, see, and he wasn't. And I was like, well, wait a second.
Because that seems like one of their tricks.
That's what I was thinking. It's like,
seems just
and
like
I
one
felt
of their
like
tricks.
At the time, hey, you're not the Federal Reserve. We can trust the Federal Reserve. How do I know I can trust you? I probably should have felt the same way about the Federal Reserve.
But where will that get you, is the point.
Well, they'll just call you a conspiracy nut because you think that the Federal Reserve is manipulating the price of gold.
Well, I mean...
Or selling our gold to China. Or
I think it would be conspiratorial to think that the Federal Reserve doesn't manipulate the price of everything. I mean, right? That would be
right.
That would be more of a conspiracy. I mean, just by default, they control the monetary supply. Therefore, they manipulate the price of everything by controlling the amount of money out there. It's just like people who fail to understand the United States' military empire. we have the largest military on the planet ever that's more funded. I mean, as Barney Frank says, we have the, you know, we budget for the largest military in the world and the second largest military in the world and the third largest military in the world. And then comes, you know, I don't know. Who's number four? Russia? America's the top three largest militaries in the world. You know, if New Mexico were to secede from the state for the United States of America, it would be the fourth largest nuclear power on the planet.
That's crazy.
Just one state. I mean, so then to go, oh, but America's not a military empire.
Right.
You know, these clearly obvious realities aren't true. What are you talking about? You must be a conspiracy theorist.
It kills me the whole, like, I can respect somebody making the choice to be in the military or whatever, but
why?
Well,
let's
beyond that discussion is the notion that, you know, everyone, I think they probably even do this at punk rock concerts now, is like stop for a moment to thank the people of the military for protecting our freedoms. And it's like, I don't know that that's what's protecting our freedoms now.
Yeah, I don't know about the U.S. Army. I'll thank the Salvation Army.
Right.
You know?
Right. There's just so much more. I was listening to a debate.
I think the KISS Army might have more protection of our Constitution. I think Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons might do more for...
Because it's the military that's everything is being...
It'd be nice to think, but you talk to anyone, and see, the whole point is that people, and there might be folks that served in the military right now listening to this and getting very upset.
And they do. And it's...
Well, right, because you just called... You just... Okay, but the point is...
Question the amount of necessity that our military is.
Or you just question somebody's, you know, 3, 5, 7, 10, 30 years of somebody's life or what they gave up on a battlefield somewhere going through hell. The reality is that everyone that joins the military as an enlisted person knows, and I'm sure a lot of officers figure this out as well, that it's a lot different on the inside than what it looks like from on the outside.
Right.
I've never talked to somebody who's ever joined the military who's like, that's what I thought it would be like. Or, yeah, no, totally. What we were doing in Iraq, yeah, that's totally what I thought it would be like. It just becomes a game of conflict at home where people, I mean, you remember when that dude spit on Jane Fonda at the Unity Temple back in, like, 2004? It's just, like, people still holding on to this idea of, you know, that Vietnam was an important war to fight, you know, because no other reason than what people experienced being a part of that war on the front lines or having animosity towards people who refused to go, who were back here having sex and smoking pot, which would have been a lot more fun than going to Southeast Asia and you know, and watching your friends and whatever getting cut up by AK-47s in a rice paddy.
Right. No, absolutely.
Who wouldn't have rather smoked seedy, you know, weed and messed around with hairy girls? Right?
Although they apparently had some of that going on in Vietnam, too.
They had really strong stuff over there. And, yeah, no, I guess I take it back. I don't think the Asians are nearly as hairy as we think they are. but no, I mean, no doubt. I mean, it's just this idea you hold on to something. You feel like you have to defend something because you were a part of it. And that's a large part of everyone plays into that.
No, absolutely. I mean, and that's a sad thing because we can pretty much, and that's like a dichotomy that's in the American thinking, right? Like it's because we look back at Vietnam, and I think pretty much universally or definitely predominantly, people in America would tell you that that was the wrong war. We shouldn't have done it. Da 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 da. Or whatever. It wasn't the best use of our time and resources. But then, that being the only major conflict up until 2002, right? I mean, the war in Iraq before was like such a quick thing and all that. So with that being the only major conflict, we still had this idea going on. It's not like September 11th created this notion that we have to thank our soldiers for protecting our freedoms. I grew up hearing that. You know what I mean? And it was at the same time that we knew we didn't like what they were doing.
Right.
And what they had been doing for 50 years. I mean, Korea wasn't all that. I mean, Korea was called the Forgotten War. People weren't even.
Well, don't they call that fear-based mind control? Isn't that kind of what that
well,
is?
Well, yeah, that's
just
it.
Kind of
that's
saying
it.
That, you know, our army.
You have no
us.
Idea what they're doing, but boy, they're protecting our freedoms.
It'd be nice to think. I mean, it'd be really nice to think that. You know, I think every member of the military has to swear an oath saying they're going to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution. Be nice if that was actually the case, but I mean that's just not. It's not the reality
practical.
Of it, and that's you know I mean hey war is not supposed to be fought for those you know it generally isn't fought for those reasons anyway. It's very rare that war is fought for some sort of glory or something.
Right.
That's.
Or you mean a noble reason?
Right. That's right. Hollywood.
It's often fought for glory because these knuckleheads think that that's their stamp.
Right. But, you know, hey, I mean, war is soon to no longer be fought by human beings directly anyway, on our side.
Right, I was going to say on our side, yeah.
On our side. We'll
I mean,
still
we're
be
very close to that now. I mean, drone warfare just.
I think that's a large part of everything that's happened, you know, in the last 10 plus years.
Yeah, because there was a controversy earlier in the year because they wanted to give.
Women combat roles?
No, they wanted to give awards, combat awards, to the folks who
are playing video games?
Yeah, the ones who drive the drones and never actually come into any kind of physical contact or risk with the enemy, so to speak. And then they're getting, you know. The controversy was, how's this guy going to get the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor when all he did was, like, fly? You know, you give some guy an award because he flew 300 missions, but, you know, he did that while he was drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he didn't lose his hearing or an arm or something.
Right.
He got carpal tunnel syndrome.
No, he may come up with, like, ear problems later on because he was wearing headphones and
no, he's got a sore wrist.
Right.
From all
it's
the
carpal tunnel. See that's from the Great War.
Well, I think and that might have something to do with legitimizing the notion
right.
of that actually being combat. Well, it's 22 minutes after the hour of one. We'll take a really quick break and play this thing that we have to because we're told to, and we'll be right back with you. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. Community radio in the 21st century.
I'm Lynn Snyder, and I love sing-alongs. My friends and I will host a community sing at KKFI's Winfield Warm-Up on Sunday, August 18th at IBEW Local 124. We'll have a long afternoon of live concerts by a dozen or so live acoustic bands, a community sing-along, Winfield-style jam sessions, day passes for the KKFI fundraiser, only $15. Schedule, ticket information, and directions at kkfi.org.
I know Mike's going to be there. Mike's absolutely going to. So you can meet Mike there at the, IBEW Winfield warm-up. Buy your ticket, support KKFI, and all that bluegrass. Well, you know, did you see that Kansas City's a front-runner for the Republican convention in 2016?
Really?
Isn't that awesome? We can't get a Democratic convention.
We'd have two Republicans conventions then, right?
That would be
we'd have one in 76. So it would be 40-year anniversary.
Wow.
I did not know that we had it in 76, like in 76.
And we had one back in the early 20th century as well. The city of Kansas also did. I think another Republican convention. But that was a different Republican Party back then.
That was truly smoke-filled back rooms.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was in 76, too.
Right.
I'm sure it was. It seems like the notion of modern politics is is pretty recent. I mean, it's just no fun anymore. President calls a press conference. Who cares?
Right.
He's not going to say anything that's not well scripted, that isn't, you know, focus grouped, and I mean, there's just no information that's going to come out of it. You know, a political convention, a party convention, means absolutely nothing now. It is just, I mean, it means nothing. It's just pointless to watch. It's no fun. You want some surprise. You want them to actually be voting on who the nominee is going to be,
right,
as opposed to it already being decided by the time you go there. What the hell? Come on. Somebody was just calling in.
Right, and they make this big issue of it, too, because it's like if it's not fully decided before the convention, they act like that's a problem. Like, oh, my God, how do we get to this point where we,
you know why that's a problem?
Have to have a convention to decide?
Because you have people on the TV who have to fill up 24 hours of garbage, and they have to talk about something. I mean, that's the reality of that.
1928.
Republicans?
We had 1928 in Kansas City.
And there was one in St. Louis in 1896, I thought.
Nobody cares about St. Louis. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI is the telephone number.
So 28, 76, and now 16.
Yep, it was in Kemper Arena. 1976.
Oh, did they have Kemper Arena in 1928?
It was a much different version of the present, right. Kemper Arena. It still smelled the same, though.
Convention Hall.
Horse poop. Which burnt down, I believe Convention Hall did. But it's interesting. 1928, Herbert Hoover was the nominee of the Republican Party. He went on to win, and Coolidge was the other Republican that ran in 28, because Coolidge was the... He took over for Harding because Harding died, I believe. He died of a broken heart or a corrupt heart or something like that. Coolidge took over. Everyone, like, I mean, his history has been very kind to Coolidge. It's kind of interesting how that works. Herbert Hoover is the one that is kind of seen as being responsible for the Great Depression. You know, he
was
lost.
Was he not the teapot, or was that Harding?
Harding was the teapot
dome scandal. Teapot
dome scandal,
okay.
And then you have, so then you had Coolidge and then Hoover. And then in 1932, of course, FDR wins. In 76, it would have been Ford who beat out Reagan. And, you know, Ford was kind of he was seen as a dunce. I mean, he was put into the position of being vice president right before Nixon resigned because his vice president, Spiro Agnew, had to resign because he was getting investigated by the IRS, totally unrelated to the Watergate scandal.
Right, a whole nother ball of corruption.
And Gerald Ford was the Speaker of the House, and for whatever reason, they installed him in to be the vice president, and it was a, you know, political dealing thing. And then, of course, what happens? Ford pardons Nixon. I don't think he was ever fully forgiven by that. Ford had his, I think, three different women made assassination attempts on Gerald Ford.
Yeah, the...
Squeaky Fromm.
The Manson crew. Well, interestingly enough, both...
A couple other girls, too.
Both vice presidential candidates in those years were from Kansas. Dole. Where'd it go?
Dole?
Yeah, Dole in 76. Robert J. Dole, sorry.
Really?
Was the...
Bobo.
I did not know that he was the vice presidential candidate under Ford.
And then he's Bob Dole.
And then Hoover's was another Kansan.
Again, it was Bob Dole. That guy's been around for a long freaking time.
Charles Curtis was Hoover's vice president.
With one or two S's.
C-U-R-T-I-S, and he was from Kansas also.
Hmm.
I want to see pictures of him now. Might be the same person.
Right.
That Donald Rumsfeld lizard type guy.
So they might...
Jay-Z.
Do you know who the other town that they say that the people who are in the know say that Kansas City is competing with to host the 2016 GOP convention? Las Vegas, Nevada.
Ah.
which is
kind
of goofy. No, New Orleans is actually one of the towns in contention as well.
For a Democrat?
No.
Really?
For the
Republican. Really?
Yeah. And Salt Lake City is another town.
I can see that.
That makes actual sense.
Right.
Now, Missouri, Kansas City.
It's a strong Republican.
Yeah, well, it has been the last couple elections.
Right.
You know, it would kind of actually, it would make sense a little bit. I think the last time Missouri voted for a Democrat was in 96. You know, for a national
right.
election, for the president.
Right.
It was 96.
Because Missouri is kind of...
Used to be a swing state. Used to be the bellwether.
But it has...
Used to be the bellwether, but it's no longer.
But it has gone the way of the presidency every time, right?
No.
For quite a while.
2008, it did not go for Obama. Went for McCain. Pretty sure 2012,
yeah, you are
went
correct.
For Romney.
You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe I... I listened to too many Republicans. I forgot Obama was president.
It happens. So even though these conventions are completely meaningless, it might be fun. I don't know what we could do. You know, we could go to the convention. We could get our press passes from KKFI, register, get some credentials, go down there.
Go down and get free speech zones.
No, get inside the thing.
You don't think they'd free speech zone you?
No, we'd be part of the press. Mike, are you forgetting that we're part of the...
They kind of divvy those people up, too.
No.
Yeah, you go like, you're with the Star, you can come in. You're with this one, you can come in. Oh, no, that's too left.
There's always the guy from InfoWars at
right.
every single one of these things. If the guy from InfoWars can get in, we can get
right.
in. It can't be that hard. At least it shouldn't be.
It'd be very
possible.
That would be very interesting, because this Republican thing is going to be... I mean, I'm not a big fan of these three-year-out discussions either, but...
No, it's because these idiots on TV have nothing else to
right.
talk about. That it's literally, it's already Rand Paul versus Chris Christie going up against Hillary Clinton.
It's like, really?
That's the 2016 presidential field for you.
Right. And outside of Rand Paul, you really can't.
I mean, Rand Paul would choose Ted Cruz as his running mate, but Ted was born in Canada. So they're going to have to consult the legal scholars here.
That's going
to
be.
He was born in Canada, but he has an American father.
Well, his father's an immigrant as well.
I believe his father's American.
No, his father came from Cuba. Yeah, I think it was Cuba. But then the reason he has Canadian was born in Canada.
His mama?
Because his dad went to Canada because he couldn't get citizenship here. Like
about
he couldn't.
Well, then
couldn't pull it off.
I
remember reading / listening. I can't remember which report on his whole background, on Ted Cruz's background, and that was the whole thing. It was like his father got asylum here but couldn't get a citizenship, so he went to Canada where he was able to get citizenship, but then moved here, or back here, rather, was able to get citizenship eventually. But, like, within the last 15 years or so, if I recall correctly, which Wikipedia will now back me up.
Backed up. No, his mama was born and raised in Delaware.
Okay.
There we go. He's an Irish, Italian, Cuban. Yeah, I knew some. Knew
yeah,
one
and
of,
his
one
mother
of his
was like, don't
was
worry,
American.
I got you, boo. I can get you in. I get all of us in.
I mean, how hard could it have been back then?
To get citizenship?
No, in 1957 to cross the border.
To Canada? Easy.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's still pretty easy.
Right. Try getting into Mexico. Like.
That can't be that hard either. You know the big thing that people are doing to get into America from Mexico now? They're asking for political asylum because they're concerned about their safety because of the drug cartels.
You'd be hard pressed to tell them.
Well, you can't tell them no. They're overwhelming border stations.
Right.
I mean, it actually seems kind of like a legitimate reason too.
Yeah.
I mean, how often? Every day you read the newspaper.
You're tired. You're poor. You're huddled masses.
No, there's like 50 more people hung from an overpass somewhere in Jalisco. You're like,
it's
Jesus
insane.
Christ. Or Jesus
insane.
Cristo. Our Lady of Guadalupe. What's going on here?
And that whole, that's pretty insane that conditions can be like that. I mean, I was listening to this guy talk. He was like he had been some prison chaplain kind of guy, right? Like, going and talking to people. And he had met this guy in a prison who was a Mexican immigrant, and the guy basically he had all these fond recollections of this guy being somebody who loved laughing and wanted to sing, you know, songs and wanted to like basically become a nice guy, right? And like he had tried to kill himself or something, but anyway, this chaplain was talking about how he had like really been moved by his interaction with this guy and how he had kind of, it seemed, change for a better, you know, turn over a new leaf, only to then find out like 4 or 5 years later that, or maybe even a little bit longer than that, but that this guy ended up in Mexico in one of these cartels and they had finally captured him after he'd killed like 14 people. And it's just my point being that those conditions and the brutality and just sheer evil that's happening down there can
really mess up spring break.
Yeah, really mess up people. I mean, like, because I am a believer that we are all capable of the madness that we see on the world stage if the conditions were right, that you could even be the Nazi who happily kills thousands of people. Because if you're put in the conditions, you know what I mean, if you're put in those political situations where it's rah, 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 everybody's like, yeah, go for it or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like,
a mob mentality.
Yeah, or yeah, I guess you could call it mob mentality, or that something in that mob
mafia
mentality.
I mean, just
that,
a large group of
yeah,
people.
Yeah, that when you get reinforced, even for bad behavior, I mean, that it becomes something that people are more willing to do and embrace, even. I mean, because some of the stuff I've heard about the cartels is just, I mean, like when you're stopping a bus and killing everybody on a bus, that just is crazy.
Well, it kind of evokes a lot of the stories of the child soldiers in Africa.
Right.
And civil wars in Africa, just the level of brutality being so extreme to the point of, it's like,
There's an extra component.
I don't think Tarantino would have put this in a film.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
It's like it's killing them is step one in the process of then what they do with like a, you know, unrolling a dump truck full of heads or hanging 30 people off a bridge. Like the killing people is to get to the next step of the outrageous violence and, you know, like you said, not even in the movie style setup with the piles of dead bodies and whatever they're doing.
I mean, really fear-based mind control.
And
yeah.
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, I remember listening to a conversation with a guy who had been a professor early on under Gaddafi, and he was talking about how someone had like spray-painted, like drawn a mustache, like a little Hitler mustache on Gaddafi or something, right, back in like 1972 or whenever he initially did his coup. I think it was actually a little bit earlier than that, but whatever, that he had come to the university the next day, and whether it was the student who had actually done it or not, but was hung in the middle of the... It's just mind-blowing, bizarre for me, because I went to a university here, and when I think of a university center, you know what I mean? When I think of what you call the student union, yeah, that you just kind of, I can't even imagine coming to school and having like a body hanging there as like a reminder that you had better not be saying anything bad about our dear leader, because this could happen to you. Now, go study. You know what I mean? That would totally fear-based mind control you into like getting your head down and toeing the line. And that's how these guys last for 40 and 50 years, right?
Yeah, everyone around them is
scared to breathe a word of opposition. Which, I was listening to this other debate today about the, you know, our spending on military and stuff, and one of the side points that came out was that in reality, and I've heard this a couple of times over the last couple of years, is that actual violence is down across the globe. And like, if you actually look at it, not because we have the 24-hour news cycle, like you were saying earlier, these people have nothing else to talk about, so they blow up every little instance and make it so much more, but that in actuality, wars and violence is actually on a downward trend,
right?
On the planet and in our cities as well. But the side point that they were arguing about, what hit my head was, okay, when you have somebody who does this one violent act, like hanging a body from the, you know, in the middle of the university. Well, that kind of, yeah, you didn't have a lot more violence after that, because that kind of overshadowed their control, or, you know, cemented their control so that they didn't have to be as violent. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of why violence overall might be on a downward trend.
I think because people are talking more. People are People are free to move a little bit more, I think. That would, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't like it there, you can go somewhere else.
Less tyranny?
See, I've not heard it put that way, because I don't know that I would say there's less tyranny.
Because, I mean, obviously the largest murderer in history is government.
Right.
And the most violent governments are going to be tyrannies, are going to be dictatorships of some sort, right?
Okay. Well,
yeah, we're getting more technological with the fear-based mind control.
Right.
Where you have large populations that just need some good TV shows and high-quality propaganda, whereas your low-tech approach is the heads rolling and the hanging from a bridge style actual violence.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder if, like I said, that statement, there's truth in that there's less of that violence or whatever, but I just can't help but think, okay, did you not have even resistance so that there wouldn't be violence? You know, there wasn't any violence based on their resistance.
It doesn't seem like we've...
Because you quelled that real quick when they...
I don't know that it's that power structures have gotten better at supplying people with basic needs that would prevent struggle and,
right,
and violence.
They come
out
with
of
better ways
want
to suppress.
We haven't educated, clothed, and fed everyone yet.
Right, that's not why.
Which would be a huge deterrent to violence, I believe.
Although some could make the case that we have educated, clothed, and fed a lot more.
Oh, maybe more.
Than in the past. I think Russ often makes that point that, you know, like we talk about genetic modifications to food and whatnot, but then there are thousands, if not millions, of people who are eating
And USA GMO.
Well, but
soy,
that's the end of the sentence.
Bars,
they are
right.
eating
right.
that they weren't before. So it's like, do you really want
to? Let's go to the phones, though. 816-931-5534. Good morning. You are on the radio.
Hello. I guess I'm new to your show, but I think you talk about some pretty interesting stuff. I wanted to discuss when you was talking about, like, the military and how they, you know, basically that we're not protecting our freedoms. You know, the military, that's not their job anymore.
Well, that's the title of their job. That's what they're told they're doing. But in reality, I think, it's hard to make that argument in the face of reality, and that's an offensive argument. But what are your thoughts on it?
Well, just like when you were talking about the cartels and, you know, and their killings down in Mexico and stuff, our military is there as a system kind of to ensure things like that don't happen. If we didn't have a strong military system, anybody with the most guns in the country could basically take over. That's how coups and you know, other people take over the country, is because other people get enough guns up together with drug money or whatever the case may be, and they take over and they kill people and they do what they need to do to get into power.
I'm
That's
sorry,
like,
caller, what's your name?
Lamar.
To take a little bit of issue with you, my recollection, I'm not talking about statistically or anything like that, I'm just going off of my gut recollection, is that most of our, when they take over these countries and stuff, they take over the military first. Like, it's like they get that groundswell. It's not like they're going door to door and like going, hey, you got guns, join my fight. It's that their military, that if there's a wing within the military that takes over from another wing. Or am I off on that?
Well, but that's why you need a strong military. You know, you got to have people that you can trust. You got to have people that's going to follow the rules. You got to have people that's going to do what you need them to do. You know, people take over the military in other countries because there's something lacking, whether they're not getting paid enough, whether they feel like the government's not treating them right. There's a reason why people take over the other they start with the military, because they got the most guns. If you're going to take over a country, you don't go in there and, you know, do it politically. You do it with the military. You do it with the muscle. You do it with the guns. You do it with the bombs. You do it with the grenades, whatever you need to do to get the job done.
And if you look at the cartels in Mexico, which have been around for 30, 40 years, some of these cartels have, the brutality, this level of violence that we're seeing, where, you know, they're hanging 50 people from a highway overpass or something like that. This is something that is relatively new, because there's a cartel called the Zetas that are literally ex-military personnel.
They are military, right?
And they're former Mexican special forces. I think my broader point here, and this is not something to be only offensive to the idea of military, but when an enlisted person and an officer, when they take that oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, but we find ourselves, we find our military, in America, even if you're not a member of the military, in the name of America, in the name of the citizens, over in a place like Iraq, doing God knows what for God knows who, because I don't think it has anything to do with the Constitution, or in Afghanistan accomplishing nothing. I mean, what is accomplished? What has been accomplished in Iraq? I don't think much. I don't think that you can look at what took place there and go, well, at least we protected America, because that's generally what we're talking about. We're talking about defending America from all enemies, foreign and domestic. You know, most of our enemies are domestic enemies, and they are not this. They're not, you know, Islamic terrorists. They are interests within America that have no reason to have any loyalty to this country. There is a force that resides in America that I call globalism. People who are more interested in money than anything else. People that would kill, just like you have people who are drug addicts that would kill their mom for a $5 rock or whatever. You have people who are willing to euthanize and destroy villages, communities, no matter where in America.
$5 million rock.
Or for $5 billion worth of rocks, whatever it is. You know, we have an interest in this country right now that's fracking, you know, for natural gas that's destroying groundwater. You have, you know, corporate interests that have no issue with destroying the middle class in this country and creating situations of poverty. And that dovetails into the same mentality of corporatism that finds us fighting wars in places like Iraq. Because I don't think Iraq had anything to do with weapons of mass destruction. I think it had everything to do with the protection of energy resources. Because we're not really talking about defending America from enemies. We're talking about protecting these power structure that America has built up since the end of World War II that are based upon our dollar. And it's sad to say, but I think our military is used primarily to defend the value of our currency, which is based upon our control of petroleum.
Yeah, but I felt like you was condemning the average Joe, so to say, that joins the military with the intent to protect his country.
Were you in were you in the military?
No, I wasn't. My dad was. But, you know, it's not like I'm a super patriotic type of person. It's just I feel like, you know, some people join the military and actually believe that I'm doing this to protect my country. I'm doing this to
serve. I'm doing this
for the right reason. Whether they send you off to do something that you don't necessarily agree with doesn't mean that you're doing it for the wrong reason. It's like going to a church and you're a member of a church and your pastor goes out and does something wrong. Do you condemn the whole, you know, congregation for the wrong of one person?
Well, you get it. Right. The whole point is that then the church decides that they don't want to have that guy as their preacher anymore. You either leave that facility or not. The military doesn't really work like that. You can go AWOL. You can do that. But my broader point is that I don't think anyone that joins the military for that reason that you're saying, to do something for their country, joins it and then leaves feeling the same way about it. And I've talked to a lot of people who were involved in the most recent round of wars that this country is still continuing to fight, and people who have fought in wars before. And this romantic notion of the greatest generation, the folks that fought in World War II, etc., is that it's a romantic notion. It's quite antiquated. People who went to Iraq, people that joined after 9/11, realized quickly that this had very little to do with protecting America. I wish that it did. I wish that it did, because I think, you know, with all the money we've spent, it'd be nice to feel that we have secured, I don't know, something here. And I'm not attacking your father by saying that. I'm not attacking people that have been in the military, people that are in the military. It's a reality of a situation. In my opinion, it's just my opinion. That's all it is. I understand why people join the military, because they want to do something for their country. Honor, duty, country. I get that. It's just you can't really do that joining the United States Armed Forces.
Well, who's supposed to join this?
Who's supposed to what?
Who's supposed to join the military if nobody joins?
No. It's not, the attack is not on the person who joined the military, because we understand that you know, the guy who joins the military is not the problem. They're not the one giving the orders. It's like you just said, Lamar, you join for these reasons, but you're not responsible for what they send you to do. That's who we're talking about, the ones who send them to do what they do. And then they hide behind the guy who joined, you know, for these reasons and say, well, you can't insult him by questioning my orders. It's like, no, I'm not questioning him. I'm questioning you and your orders. I don't have a problem with the guy who joined the Army. It's the problem is with, where are we spending 60% of our budget on the military? You know, the military itself, even in its leadership ranks, this was part of this debate that I was listening to today as well, where we were talking about how the Pentagon itself wants to shut down programs and weapon systems and bases and things like that, and that the Congress critters won't let them do. You know what I mean? I remember back in 2001, Rumsfeld trying to shut down, what was it, some sort of plane that he was like, we don't don't need this plane. This was something that was on the drawing board and was kind of getting worked up during Vietnam, and that's not who we need to be now. We need to have a different military force, and we just don't even need that program. But the Congress folks won't allow that to change because they've got a system built that has nothing to do, like Ben was saying, has nothing to do with protecting America, but protecting their jobs and their careers. Because if I'm a congressman who signs off or suggests that we close a military supply chain that comes through Chillicothe, Missouri, then I can just say goodbye to my job, because they're going to say, well, you got rid of 5,000 jobs in my city, which, you know, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, it's not, we're not talking about duty, honor, country. We're talking about some guys hiding behind those phrases and hiding behind real people who leave their real lives to go and fight in a war that doesn't make sense for the stated reasons of protecting America.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's just, I just feel like, I don't know, it's like with politics. You know, if a good man gets into politics, he's not going to stay a good man for long.
Right.
In the eyes of the public, you know what I'm saying? But he still might be trying to do something that's right. But how do you get into that situation with a good heart and say, look, I'm going to make a change, I'm going to do something different, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to do right by it, when everybody else out there in the world is telling you that, oh, the system is messed up, you know, you should, don't even worry about it, don't even think about it. You know, just like when I was talking about the, you know, them coming to Kansas City. You know, you're supposed to go to those conventions and stuff like that to try to get things done, to try to get, you know, your opinions across, to try to get your thoughts across.
Well, right.
Whether or not they get taken, you know, into consideration is a different story. But once you give up on trying to do something about the situation, then nothing's going to get done. And I feel like a lot of people join the military and have a good heart and a good idea that, you know, I'm going to do something. My dad joined the military because he lived in a rough neighborhood and basically got out of the bad situation he was in because he did join the military. Because once upon a time, you could join the military and get a career out of it, get, you know, benefits for your family, to get, you know, a good job, housing and all that, stuff like that. Nowadays, it's not quite as simple as that. But, you know, he did it to make his situation better. And I just feel like a lot of times that, you know, I hear a lot of people talking and like, oh, man, I wouldn't join the military for nothing in my life. Well, then who's going to join the military if good people are not going to join the military for whatever reason? You know what I'm saying?
I do, but at a point, do we need the military as big and as much as we have it?
No, I don't think we need it as big and as much as we have it, but
there's a big difference. But you got to realize, Lamar, there's a big difference between going to a political convention with the intention of affecting the agenda and joining the military as an enlisted person, planning to do the same thing as well. Militaries, armies, navies, marines—they're not democracies. I mean, and that's the truth about that. You don't have any say. You do what you do. And, I mean, you might give a – and it's this notion. It's not an excuse to follow an order that's wrong. I mean, that didn't work for the Nazis at the end of World War II, the Nuremberg trials, the good German thing. It didn't work. And the broader point is that if our military is going to be used to do what it does, then we'd probably be better off served if people didn't join. And I think a lot of the reason why people do join is for – you know, the reasons you stated your father did is because he saw an incentive for himself to do so, and it was a trade-off. And I mean,
so you think it would be better if people didn't join the military,
right?
And then what would happen?
Then we wouldn't be able to fight wars that have no benefit for the average American citizen throughout the globe.
What about defend ourselves?
Defend ourselves from what exactly is my point?
Yeah.
It's just like I said. If you don't have a military, let's take Mexico. You take Mexico and you take the military out of the situation. What do you got? The police departments down there are overrun by the drug cartels. They run that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They bring the military in most of the time because the police departments are so corrupt and can't handle and can't match up to what the cartels got.
And the
modern form of the cartel is a byproduct of the military down there. I hear what you're saying. If you want to solve Mexico and their problem with violence down there, we need to legalize drugs in America.
I believe that too.
You want to end? You